Achievement motive. Now, this is a motive which everybody has. It is expressed as a desire to perform in terms of standard of excellence, or be successful in competitive situations. Achievement motive, in very simple terms, is there is a need in every one of us to do something and go ahead to achieve goal. Now, I may want to achieve a goal which is only so small. Somebody else may be wanting to achieve a goal which is so big. But at the end of the day, everybody has got an achievement motive. The characteristics of a high achiever, I don't totally agree to the everything given here, but I'll explain it and I'll add something more. He's a moderate risk taker, need not be. High achiever are usually high risk takers also. But apparently what we're trying to say through the slide is moderate risk takers, so that they take a calculated risk. People who take calculated risk also do high achieving, no doubt. But high achievers need not be moderate risk taker. They could also be high risk taker. Once they know what they're doing, they could be high risk takers also. High achievers have a need for immediate feedback. Yes, they do. They would like to know where I'm going. Give me quick feedback. And they have a group of people who are very open to giving feedback. What is called as critic. C-R-I-T-I-Q-U-E. Critic. Feedback. For improvement. Satisfaction with accomplishments. They are satisfied at the moment when the achievement is over, and then they go further and they don't dwell or live on the satisfaction and become complacent. Preoccupation with task or activity. They are totally task oriented in whatever they do. Next comes the affiliation motive, the third one. Power motive I've discussed. I've taken achievement motive. Now we come to affiliation motive, or the need for affiliation. It's a social need, and members prefer to join groups in order to satisfy the need of belonging or affiliation. We all are social animals, human beings, and whatever you may do, at the end of the day, you need people around you. So that's a need in all of us. So when you feel lonely, or the need is arising, you feel lonely. So what do? You pick up the phone and talk to someone, or you go and meet someone, right? Or you go for a film or maybe a shopping wherein you meet people and you feel nice about it. Affiliation. Lower level employees have high intense need to belong to a group. Now, lower level means we are talking about people who are in the hierarchy of the organization. People who are at the operation level usually like to be belonging to a group because they feel secure. When you are higher in the organization, you have more authority, responsibility and power in your hands. So those people don't feel so much of need to belong to a group because they can wield things. They can control things. Whereas people at the bottom, they feel insecure because they are handling only one fraction of the work that is to be done. Each one is allocated some work. So that's why we have what is called as collective bargaining. They come together and to feel strong, they start having somebody who takes care of themselves. Of them, right? Employees' commitment level is enhanced by satisfying their social need for belonging. Today we work in teams. There are matrix organizations. And when we work in teams, we have this need for the entire team to feel a sense of belonging. And the team belongs, a team has got a composition of different types of people. Bringing them together, making them feel affiliated with each other is a task by itself, which a good leader has to do. And in today's work environment, teams composition, the members in the team keep changing from project to project. So, am I addressing only the person? No, I'm addressing the process called the behavior. So even if I have different people working in my different teams for different projects, I need to have the skill of understanding what is common in all of them, which is basically behavior and all those things which we are discussing in the subject. So I may have a group of say 8 or 9 people working as a team with me in this project. Now when this project gets over, this team is disbanded, I may have 2-3 members common. I may have some 5 members from outside who are coming, with whom I have never worked. But behavior is behavior. So if I understand the scientific way the behavior is running, from interactions I can be able to manage things in a better way. That's why we are learning OB. Right? Security motive. Employees fear losing their jobs. Job security status has changed over the years. It starts with not losing the job. Security motive is human, every creature. Every organism has got this need for security, feeling secure. So what is it basically? First, at the first level is a physiological need, which I'll be discussing in one of the models now. It's a need to survive. Once my survival is taken care of, then I feel that I should be secure. I feel sleepy, I don't have a home, and I look for any corner anywhere in the road or someplace where I like to sleep. Once that is taken care of, human need starts going to the higher level. So I may want to have a security. I may want to sleep in a comfortable place where I don't feel cold or the heat. That is security. Physical security, psychological security, social security, mental security. These are the various securities we all seek all the time. Okay? And that shows in the form of point number one, employees fear losing their jobs. When I lose my job, what happens? I feel not good about myself. I lose the money which is running my home and so many other things. Right? I feel down psychologically because I feel that I am not wanted. Now these are various things that fear are there. So people have the motive to feel secure. Pre-liberalization period provided job security. Before 1991 in India, we had a closed economy, and after that the liberalization took place. Right now we are going global, and during that time jobs were secure. Competitiveness was less and we were a controlled economy wherein we did not allow the global players to come and compete with our Indian companies. So there was a lot of job security, right? Now it's very different. Now with the technological advancements and all, the job security is much, much less because there's a lot of competition, right? Status motive, another thing which human beings are fighting for all the time. The new dynamic organizations have created challenging jobs. Candidates with skills and knowledge suitable to dynamic jobs are given attractive salaries and perks like houses, cars, club membership, credit cards, etc. This satisfies our status and the prestige motive of the employee. So what are most of us doing today? In the last about a decade, many of you are moving from company to company. One is to get a higher status in terms of designation, in terms of responsibilities, and with that, all the things that come to you, the house, the car, the club membership, etc. This is one of the important things. But this is a part of you. You may have the need for status very high or it may be low, but it is there in all of us. It is not about the physical trappings. You know, I call them houses, cars and all. You also need to be respected. That is again the status people seek. You need to be respected for whoever you are. Because you feel that I have really struggled and come up to this level, or I am struggling even at the lower level, people need a status. So it's a sense of well-being. It's a sense of recognition which people are seeking. So my contention is that seek a recognition which is making you feel good inside because of who you are, not because of what you acquire. I got two cars, I got five bungalows. That is not the type of status motive which I would be looking for, because that's very, very conditional. Whereas what is making you inside pretty good will make you buy 3-4 cars. And the cars are not ruling your motive. You are ruling your motive. I think it should be inner control, not external control. That's my contention. Okay? At one point of time, you need that. But beyond the point, it is the status comes from within you. Right? Now we come to the second part, the motivating process itself. How does a motivating process run? So there are three blocks given here, and there's an arrow going towards from left to right. And the first one is talking about motives, second is motivating, and the third one is motivation. One is the motive, the needs in the individual, where it starts. Second is motivating, setting a proper stimuli at work to activate motives in individuals. I don't want to dwell on work all the time. Motivating is a process through which the needs are recognized and we set up certain ways of fulfilling the needs. That is motivating. Recognizing the motive of the individual or the individuals and setting up certain means by which this can be fulfilled. The process of preparation, planning, etc. to see that the motives are taken care of. I am giving a very systematic approach. All this happens quickly. What is motivation? The engagement of the individual in desired work behavior. Now this requires little explaining. Engagement of the individuals in desired work behavior. What is engagement? When my mind, body, everything is with the job. When I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I'm totally lost unto myself. I'm into the flow. That is engagement. Now, when will I be in the flow? I will be in the flow when I am feeling my needs completely fulfilled. Is it true or not? So, when the needs are not fulfilled, my engagement will be partial or zero. Now, one of the key for organizations to understand their training needs, their understands their learning and development needs, is to understand who has got what needs to be fulfilled. Who has got what needs to be fulfilled? Because each one of us is unique. One glove doesn't fit all. So do I know my team? Just as we have KYC, know your customer, KYT, do you know your team members? Individually, whose motive is what? Individually, what type of fulfillment or motivating I can do for each of them? And then and only then I'll get the last point, motivation. One person may want a need for money. It's a need, not a want. Check out it's a need or a want, that's again your skill. You need to develop that skill to know whether the person is needing or wanting money. And need for money when you're struggling is there. There's a need for money even when you're settled down. Where does the need come from? I said need comes from a situation. At that situation, when you have already risen, there may be a need for you to have money for the purpose of your child's education. That's a need again. So let's not feel that need is of money is only at the lower level. It can be at all levels on the situation. So that need, I need to recognize and motivate, put the motivating process into it. Then I'll be getting a motivated individual. I had a works manager in one of the companies where I used to visit, a very successful organization. The works manager also extremely talented and very qualified and a very effective person. And this works manager had a cabin, a workspace which was pretty nice. Everything in the cabin was very good. But one thing about the works manager, he used to come in the morning, get irritated with everybody. Everybody. Even if the work is done as per his instructions, he used to still get irritated. He had this early morning nastiness. Similarly, while leaving in the evening for home, he used to feel irritated somehow. This pattern was seen by someone who was not an HR person, somebody who was reading human behavior. He noticed this. Now, this gentleman, it seems, was staying in a home, in a chawl, in a very small place where he was literally compelled to live very difficult. Water supply was coming in an intermittent way, that too in a common tap. They had common washroom, toilets, etc. And he had a family to support. Now he had risen as a works manager. But at the need front of his personal life, he couldn't afford to buy a home for himself. The earlier generation, many of them have gone through this. Holding good positions. Working in an office which is very lovely. You feel like sitting there. Because when you go back home, there are challenges. Those needs you are not able to fulfill for some reasons. A good organization this was. The director came to know about it, the promoters. And they actually tried to help him out. And then what they did is they made some arrangements by which he was getting a better facility. He was able to take a new home. Some loan was given. Some good things happened in short. So when this gentleman came back after going to a new home and coming from the new home, his irritation, early morning irritation stopped. I'm sure this is something which many of you can reflect when I'm talking to you. Today we say in current HR practices, a happy home makes a happy employee. And if an employee has to be happy, if he has to be engaged, then let's ensure that his home is taken care of. Home and workplace are today being addressed very well by companies, by modern companies. Okay? So, taking it further. The motivation process. It's a process that starts with a deficiency or the need which activates behavior or drive that is aimed at a goal or an intensive. I've already explained this. Need is a deficiency created when there is a physiological or a psychological imbalance. I could be having a need to talk to someone because I'm feeling lonely. Psychological. I may have a need to eat something because I'm hungry. Physiological. It's a deficiency because of which the drive comes. Now what does the drive do? It's a thrust with a direction. It's that irritation. It gives you the signal. They are action oriented and provides an emerging thrust towards the goal accomplishment. Now, what is incentive? It's anything that will alleviate, which reduces the need to reduce the drive. So, anything that gives me the satisfaction is an incentive. The food is an incentive, which is coming to me because of my drive towards the food, which is coming from my need. I have a need to have food, The drive comes and impels me towards an incentive called the food, and I imbibe it. Right? Phases of motivation. How does in what stages and what phases it goes? First, the effort. The strength of the person's work-related behavior is determined by amount of effort devoted for the activity. My behavior towards what I'm doing is a direct reflection about the amount of effort I'm putting in. Do I stretch myself? Effort. Next is putting in the effort and persisting, carrying on. There should be persistence in efforts. Individuals put their efforts continuously until the goal is achieved. Once a predetermined goal is achieved, he selects a higher goal. So persistence is one of the parts of motivation. Effort is one, second is persistence. Staying power. Direction. Goal achievement requires a clear direction in addition to persistent hard work. Don't work hard and don't work stupid and the direction is lost. People come and say, I worked for 8 hours. I said, what have you achieved? So the achievement part of it comes only when the direction is clear towards the goal. A direction enhances level and quality of output, and a clear direction ensures that persistent efforts are put for right purpose in the right level at the right time towards the right goal. Right? Significance of motivation. Why is it significant? Motivation identifies employee potentials, potentialities, which is basically what are the things you have in you which can be brought out. Fantastic good things are there in every human being. It converts them into performance. It's the most important key rule, point number one. How many organizations identify employee potentialities? How many of them convert them into performance? You may be a person who's in operations. Usually organizations tap only on the operation skills of yours. But every human being is multi-skilled. So he may be very good in operations, but there may be other skills, other potential, which is not being observed or tapped by the organization. Now that has to be brought out. Formulation of efficient strategies happens because of motivation. It increases productivity. I don't have to elaborate now. By now all of you can correlate. Human resources development and utilization takes place. It builds congenial, a very friendly industrial relations. It's a continuous process, motivation. Because as soon as one need is satisfied, I'm feeling happy today, again a new need comes up. And a new need, and a new need, and a new need. Because we are evolving, we are going ahead. And since we are evolving, we are going through new situations. Every new situation produces a new need. It's a psychological concept. Level of satisfaction using incentives varies from person to person. How true? X may be happy with just about 1,000 rupees in the pocket. Another person may say 1,000 is not enough, I need 10,000. Somebody else will say 100 rupees is enough. So it varies from person to person. Entire individual is motivated. An individual is integrated and comprehensive system which reacts to a whole, as a whole to a motivation. Very interesting thing. We need to pause and understand this very clearly. Entire individual is motivated. It's only not parts of me. If I'm hungry and I'm in a beautiful resort and there's a lovely show going on, okay, and there are lovely friends with me, every other part of my self is taken care of except my hunger. I am hungry. You think I'll be enjoying myself in that scenario? Answer is no, you know it. So every individual is, we are integrated people. So any part of my body or mind is unfulfilled, it shows in the behavior. This is a very interesting thing, a thing which all of you need to deliberate upon. In many organizations, I come across people who are accomplished, very senior levels they have reached, vice president level, age 40, 45 perhaps. It could be either gender. Everything about them is good, but some part of the behavior seems to be little, it's not very smooth, it's not very clear, and that creates a dissonance, that creates a lot of a problem when they interact with us, with people. When you go closely, you realize that one part of their life is unfulfilled, it's having an emptiness, the need is not fulfilled. So whenever a need in an individual, any need, however tiny or large, is not fulfilled, is not satisfied, It shows in the whole WHOLE behavior of the person. So our motivation has to be total. My hunger should be taken care of. My sleep should be taken care of. My thirst should be taken care of. My need for belonging should be taken care of. All these things, when they are perfectly okay, definitely I, as an integrative, comprehensive system called the human being, the whole human being, would definitely give better output. Now there are two agencies which need to work towards this. You as an individual to begin with, and the organization as the social contractor, if I can use the word, who has to also work on you. So both of us need to understand that when the work person walks into the office, he must be satisfied in most of his life. 100% satisfaction may not happen in everything, but most of it has to be taken care of so that the person is able to push and get things done. So entire individual is motivated, not parts of you. Okay, let's take it further. Now there's a term called frustration, which we use frequently. Frustration. I spoke about the need drive theory of motivation. It says when a need is not fulfilled, it generates a behavior which is called as frustration. What is frustration? A need is not fulfilled. When a need is not fulfilled, does it cause irritation or not? It does. If I am thirsty right now while talking to you, I am not anyway. If I am thirsty, then that irritation of thirst will irritate me, create an irritation inside. And mind you, any need whose irritation starts, if it is not taken care of, it shows in the behavior. And that behavior is called as a frustrated behavior. So next time you use this word frustrated behavior, be careful. Ensure that you are using it in this context. When a need is not fulfilled, you display a behavior which is actually giving a signal to people, look, some need of mine is not fulfilled. A very intelligent, skilled person who knows behavior will say, some part of you is not okay. So they make them sit down, they talk to them, and then the person starts maybe crying and say that, look, this is what is happening to me. And then once that need is fulfilled, the frustrated behavior will vanish. Conversely, many people show frustration today, and if you go closely and watch them, which I do as a trainer, you find that there are areas of their life, very basic areas of their life, where they are having a need to be fulfilled, they have not done it. And when they don't do it, it spoils them, their behavior, their well-being, their sense of psychological good well-being, and it also spoils others. If I am frustrated and I am dealing with a group of people, I start transferring my frustration to them. For no rhyme or reason, I'll be getting angry with people, with good people who are supporting me. For no rhyme or reason, I'll be doing things which I shouldn't be doing in that context. Why? All because inside me, a need is not fulfilled. Recognize this about yourselves to begin with and others. Ask yourself a simple question. Do I show frustrated behavior sometimes? It's a very good wake-up call for us. If the answer is yes, then ask yourself the next question. Why am I doing this? Which part of my need is not fulfilled? And you will get the answer that this need is not fulfilled, so you're doing this. A person who doesn't feel validated, it's an internal feeling, mind you. Validation means what? He doesn't feel that he is a somebody. Self-esteem is very low. A person who doesn't feel his self-esteem is low might show a frustrated behavior in the form of aggression. I am good. Whatever I am doing is the best. This may happen. I am not saying it always happens. So that could be, if it goes on for too long and it is not serving any purpose, that means there is something, it's a personality thing that needs to be handled. So what do you do? If you are coaching that person, you have to coach that person into raising, going to the need, understanding that this need to be fulfilled by giving him inputs, and then through the inputs coach him to make himself feel that yes, I matter, raise his self-esteem. It is easily said than done. This is called as process training, process behavioral training. Inside you go and have to work on the person. It goes over stages. Some people are frustrated despite the rewards due to gap between aspirations and rewards. Aspirations are inside, rewards are outside. You give them any amount of rewards, yet they feel frustrated. They got all the things in the world to be happy about externally. Homes, cars, bungalows, everything. Yet inside they are not, there is some aspiration unfulfilled, which may be unexpressed most times. Goals lead to motivation, and goal achievement leads to satisfaction. Goal is somewhere there and it leads to motivation. It says, I have to do it. So it's a need to be fulfilled. A committed employee, for him, the need is to achieve a goal. That need creates a drive towards the achievement of the goal. And then finally, when he achieves the goal, he feels a sense of motivation. Goal achievement leads to satisfaction. The word I use, satisfaction is equal to 100% fulfillment. Self-concept is an unifying force. I just mentioned it in that example I gave you. People with positive view of self are always motivated. See, motivation is not about sound and fury. Somebody who says, oh, I'm good, this, that and all, is not motivation. Always. Motivation shows, even in a very quiet person who is very effective, and motivated people, they, by their presence, they empower others. They don't have to push anybody. If your presence is there, you're a fulfilled person, then whatever you say, whatever you talk is encouraging to others. You don't have to use words by pushing people. You don't have to do that. It automatically comes. So you be aware of the fact that first you need yourself completely fulfilled. Once you're fulfilled, you become a source of motivation for others. Leaders have to go through this. First, ensure that your life is completely clear of all needs. All needs are fulfilled. And once the needs are fulfilled, you become a complete person. Majority of the basic needs. And then what happens is you are in a position to understand others and their motivation and their areas where needs have to be fulfilled. Right? What are the features of motivation? It is a lot to do with internal feelings of the individual. It's concerned with the total person, as we have already explained. It's a product of anticipated values and perceived probability. I'm anticipating, I have these things to do in my life, these are my values. And these are the chances it might happen or not happen. I have a value to work in a very good FMCG company, let's say, because I love FMCG and I like to deal with FMCG products and services. Perceived probability. This organization offers me what is my anticipated value. If it offers me, so I feel, the probability is more, so I'll join the company. Motivation. It's a willingness to exert high levels of effort towards a goal. The willingness comes because I feel my need is getting fulfilled. It involves arousal, direction and maintenance. There are three words which is used in one of the models of defining motivation. Arousal means arousal is that particular type of excitement of an energy which can be in the form of an irritation because a deficit of a need is getting signaled to you. Then it gives you the direction, the drive. And the maintenance means the actual thing happening to you or fulfilling the need. Right? Types of motivation. Primarily there are two types. Positive motivation or pull mechanism. The second one is negative motivation or push mechanism. Positive motivation occurs when people are rewarded and shown a way to receive it. This is also called as motivation by reward. And it is coming under theory of motivation, which is discussed later. Monetary rewards like wages, incentives, bonus, etc. are rewards. Non-monetary could be praise, recognition, pat in the back, etc. It helps employee identify their potential and creates optimistic atmosphere. Everybody loves a positive motivation, and most people feel that positive motivation keeps a person going ahead and he definitely performs. Need not be. There are times when I have to go for negative motivation, push mechanism. In one of the other modules I was discussing about a boy going through the 12th standard and all that thing. So you can correlate with that discussion. Negative motivation is what? Getting work done by instilling fear in people. If you don't do this, I won't give you this. If you don't do this, whatever is there with you, I'll withdraw it from you. Two types of things, punishing and withdrawing. Fear of consequences keeps the workers going. Creates frustration and unfavorable attitude at times, not always. There are times when you have to use a negative motivation. When people become complacent because of your goodness, negative motivation is important. negative motivation followed by positive and vice versa. How do you start? First, you start with the positive always. When positive doesn't work, they say, nah, the man is guilty till he is proved innocent. He is guilty till he is proved innocent. That is one way of looking at it. Positive motivation tells you he is innocent till proved guilty. I am giving a comparison, nothing to do with guilt and innocence. So I start up with a clean slate that he is a well-intentioned employee and let me start with a positive motivation. But when that doesn't work, the productivity comes on and he is not giving output, then I have to use my push and then it works. Although we say it hinders productivity and efficiency, not always. There are times when to push the productivity, to push the efficiency, I have to use negative motivation. It sounds irritation. It sounds irritating for people. They don't like it. But all of you who are listening to me will agree, your best growth took place when you were unwilling to do something and somebody used a negative motivation and made you do it. Your growth took place when you were unwilling to do something. Somebody used a negative motivation and made you do it. You did not like it. You hated. But when you look back, you will agree with me that that was a negative motivation which pushed you from complacence into performance. It's important. Right? Steps in motivation, sizing up, understanding needs of people and determining what motivates them. Different strokes for different folks, understanding who has got what need to be fulfilled, sizing up. Preparing a set of motivating tools, lists of motivators based on needs of people. Each one requires different motivator. Selecting and applying motivators from the list selected with what is needed. Feedback, find how effective a particular motivator has been. Very systematic steps. Understanding the person, preparing what, who needs what, understanding who needs what, preparing the tools and administering the tools and taking a feedback. Very simple. That's why every team leader, every manager who's got people reporting to him has to know each of them one to one. We have group meetings, but besides that, do you know them one to one? As a person, as what is driving him or her, as what are the needs to be taken care of. So when you know this happens, when you loosen up and you have to step down and become informal with them. The more informal you are, genuinely informal, not as a strategy to get work done, okay? And that type of an informality, it loosens up and becomes a small, well-knit family of working. Okay? Now we come to the last part of it, which is the theories of motivation. These are basically research done by various behavioral scientists, and some of them we'll be discussing here. These are broadly converted into three types of theories: content theories, process theories, and reinforcement theories. Content theories, it's not mentioned in the slide, you can make a note of it. Content theories are those theories which are dwelling upon what motivates, WHAT, what motivates. Usually external factors are what we are talking about. Process theories, on the other hand, talk about why and the how of motivation which is inside you. First says what motivates. External surroundings motivates what? External. Internal. External surrounding is supposed to motivate, but when I come to the external surrounding, which is all motivating factors, it may not motivate me because each human being is different. So why am I not getting motivated? And then how to motivate me? Two words. The why and how is process theories. It is inside story, not outside. Content theories are dwelling on the outside of the person. Process theories are addressing the inside of the person. It's very interesting. So reinforcement theories talks about every behavior will take the person towards a goal when it is given reinforcement or strength. So I can strengthen the behavior by positive reinforcement or I can strengthen the behavior by a negative reinforcement. Negative reinforcement of a negative behavior will bring about a positive reinforcement towards a goal. So these are the three different classifications.